And we welcome you to Flowery Branch for another edition of the Mike Smith Coaches Show. And the Falcon head coach will be here. And Jason Snelling will be our player guest in the second half hour, along on Sports Radio 790 The Zone and now on AtlantaFalcons.com as well with Dave Archer and head coach Mike Smith, West Durham. Congratulations on the win, Smitty. Nice effort yesterday at the Dome.
Well, it was good to end that streak at one that we started off there in New Orleans, and I thought the guys handled it very well throughout the entire week. Their preparation was outstanding, and right. We went out there and got her done.
13 times now when your teams have lost a game, they've come back and won the game 13 times in a row, Smitty. It says a lot about your staff. You talked a little bit about that in your press conference. Ton of kids got hurt for you yesterday, yet didn't miss a beat. And I know that you're trying to adjust and maybe call some things differently, but I know you're proud of your staff and how they adjusted and got things called so you could get a win.
Well, it was that was a tough physical ball game, Dave, yesterday, and we did lose some guys, but when we did, we had some guys step up, some young guys that haven't given us a whole lot of playing time that are new to Atlanta and our Falcon organization came in and did a nice job. And then we had a guy that's been with us since we've been here and maybe a little bit longer, and Jason Snelling, that I think really stepped up in terms of the touchdown run, and then when we're trying to ice the game, catching that ball in the flat on a third and one.
Yeah, he just seems to be a guy that steps up for you all the time. An area that doesn't get talked about other than by coaches, because you guys know how important it is your special teams unit. I think a guy that gets overlooked by the general populace, not by you and your staff, is Antone Smith. And I know you got some guys that make a lot of plays for you on that time, but he drew a penalty yesterday that was a big play in the game. I think he had two or three tackles on special teams. I know he was pressuring the returner all day long. Another one of the valuable parts of your team, Antone Smith, on special teams.
Oh, absolutely. Antone, I believe he had two special teams tackles, and then we also credit our guys for drawing the flag. And Antone did a great job as a gunner. Last year he was kind of hampered a little bit. He wasn't healthy. He missed some time for us. He looks like he's back 100% this season. And he's a force to be reckoned with when you double team him. He beats the double teamer. He draws the holding call. And he's a very good kickoff cover guy as well. He's on our, he's on our what we call our big four. And he is an absolute special team star, and through the first two games, you'd have to look far and hard to see if there's somebody playing at the level that he's playing at throughout the entire league.
Let's spend a minute here talking about special teams, because and by the way, the first segment of the Mike Smith Show brought to you by Pizza Hut, the $10 any deals back and perfect for the game tonight. I think it's Bengals Steelers is the ball game.
Yes.
Tonight. Any pizza, any toppings, just $10 carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. A couple of things on special teams to follow up on this. Matt Boscher had a really good day. I think four of his six punts inside the 20, and you only allowed six return yards yesterday in that discipline, right?
That's correct. I thought Matt did an outstanding job punting the ball, directional punting, and his hang time. He had three punts that were over 5-0, and when you hang it up over 5-0, then you're giving your gunners and inside guys an opportunity to get down the field. His kickoffs were outstanding. The drive starts were super in terms of the one they brought out. Andrew Davis made a big play, mm-hmm. beat a single block. They didn't even get the ball back out to the 20-yard line. So they did a nice job, not only Matt punting the ball and kicking off, but the guy's covering it. And I believe Matt's gross was 53 and his net was 52, if I'm not mistaken. So, this Austin kid's supposed to be real fast and supposed to be a force as a returner. Yeah. And he averaged, 1.5 yards or something like that in return yards.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And by the way, Boscher equaled his career best of 63 yards a year ago in Washington. He had a 63-yarder. And had one yesterday as well.
Well, and I think it's important that we talk a little bit. That's why I wanted to bring up some special teams. Special teams have been outstanding in the third phase. It seems to kind of get left out by maybe the fan and even the media sometimes forget about. And I know you guys don't. That's a big part of your team. Offensively, another quick start for you, Smitty. And I know that's something that you talk about. Your practices begin fast. Your team starting fast. I know you're pleased about that.
Yes, I thought we started very fast as a team. I think one of the back to the special teams, maybe one of the most overlooked plays from the game yesterday was the inaccurate snap that he had to handle and get the ball off.
Well, that's a great call. Yeah,
that was a big play. You just don't know which play is going to be the play that makes a difference. And Josh Harris is usually very accurate. It was a little offline. And Matt did a great job of getting it off. But you've got to look at our fast start. You like what we did both offensively and defensively. You know, Bartu makes on that first series. He makes that nice tackle there out in the flat. Mm-hmm. It was a textbook tackle. We got going early and got the touchdown on the first drive. That's the things that we like. We were basically the last 4 minutes of the first half after we had a couple of injuries on defense. We were really kind of working, and our offense was able to take that drive down and kick the field goal there at the end of the half. So that was an impressive thing as well.
Well, Smitty, I know you're constantly evaluating your team, and I know you want to lock into what you do. What is it about there's been some moments in third quarter situations when you do get a big lead, and human nature, I think anybody would say, okay, you tend to relax a little bit. I know that's not the persona that you want for your team, nor is that what you're trying to do, but there is that little bit of lull in the third quarter that seems to affect your club sometimes.
Well, we had a lull yesterday in the third quarter. We had 4 3 and outs in the offensively the entire game, and three of them came back to back to back in the third quarter. And we've got to eliminate those back to back 3 and outs. So when you do that, you're putting the defense back out on the field. And usually a 3 and out doesn't take a whole lot of time off the clock. So there's a number of factors. We've got to be better at that in terms of not having the 3 and outs. And then conversely, on the defensive side of the ball, the first 9 drives, we give up 3 points, and then the last 3 drives of the game, we give up consecutive touchdowns. And albeit one of them was on a fourth down, you know, they had a fourth down conversion. Yeah. That was a situation where it was basically a two-minute situation, have to score. But those are things that we have to address. If we want to be the type of team that we're very capable of being, we need to be more efficient when we have the lead, and we need to finish the games. You know, one of our mantras is that we have to go out and finish. Mm-hmm. And we've started the season out with that as a mindset, and we didn't really get that accomplished yesterday.
Falcons head coach Mike Smith with us here, the Mike Smith Show on Sports Radio 790 The Zone, and of course live on AtlantaFalcons.com as well. Coach, I want to ask you about working through the depth and the injuries. You had your presser here at the bottom of the hour at 2:30. You indicated Croy Bierman and Brady Ewing are both going to IR at the end of the day, so you'll be making some transactions there. That's unfortunate for both guys. But guys who are also providing some value here to your team in a variety of ways, not just what they were doing line of scrimmage. In Croy's case, he was doing a lot of different things for you. Yesterday, as that occurred, you guys had to investigate the depth of your football team. And Dave talked about doing that during the process of the game. How much in-game adjustments was going on? How much stuff was going on the fly? I got to believe you were really kind of maximizing your roster yesterday based on the inactives and all those things.
Oh, when you have the amount of injuries that we had in that game, you're going to have to make adjustments. Jason Snelling had to step in and play fullback for us and be a lead blocker at times. Of course, he made some nice plays there at the end of the game in some of the four-minute situations, and then the touchdown run in our one-back sets. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's across the board yesterday when we lost a couple of the other players on the defensive side. We lost Sean Weatherspoon there in the second quarter. That puts us into a different mindset in terms of what we're going to be able to run coverage-wise. One of the things that I think was overlooked from the game yesterday was their tight end had, you know, the big game, and of the things that we wanted to do was stop the tight end. I believe he had one catch for 10 yards, so that was an emphasis point, and I would say that was a very positive coming out of the game. But when you get into a situation, you only have 46 guys on your roster. You've got to have guys that are cross-trained to go in and play different positions. We had that going on early. Cliff Matthews got dinged on a kickoff, and so it kind of got us out of our rotation that we wanted to have in the defensive line. You know, Jonathan Babineau did not practice much last week, but that's what happens once the season starts. It's a very physical, physical game that we play, and there's going to be guys that aren't going to be able to participate in practice that are going to be able to, at the end of the week, they're feeling good enough to go out and play. And we had a number of those guys that did, and they stepped up and made plays this week for us.
Yeah, it looked like the Rams made a concerted effort to try to stop the run, try to do some things like that, and really ganged up in the box. Really nice job by Dirk to maybe make the game a horizontal game, all of a sudden get the screen game at all. You had a lot of success with your screen game.
Yeah, we did. I think we have a litany of different ways that we can move the ball. You know, when they try to stop the run, then we've got to go somewhere else. And Dirk and his staff did a really nice job yesterday with some of the vertical passing, some of the some of the screens to slow down the pass rush. You know, that group that we played yesterday up front, arguably one of the best fronts in the NFL, and I thought there was marked improvement from week one to week two in terms of protecting the quarterback, especially in manageable situations.
Right. Don't forget the Falcons scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter yesterday, which means you have a chance to stay $150 instantly on four new tires and an alignment today only. Get into Kauffman Tire now.
All right, very good. When we come back, the Ford Defend the Dome question of the week for Coach Smith, and we'll talk about the road game in Miami coming up on Sunday with the Falcon head coach right after you hear this.
Without football, coverage from your phone, your mobile phone, whatever. Just call Star NFL to get NFL mobile now from Verizon only.
And that's our SunTrust Bank Shining Play of the Week, brought to you by SunTrust. How can we help you shine today? Coach, I joked with Dave yesterday during the broadcast, and Mike Smith, of course, joins us here at Flowery Branch. Jason Snelling will be with us in our second half hour. 11 catches, a career-high 182 yards. And I know he was in and out of your practices during the week in terms of the injury report and things like that. Well, I hate to see him when he gets to 100%, right?
Well, he and Matt were on the same page.
Wow.
in the ball game yesterday. It was quite impressive to see the hookups that they had, not only on the deep ball, the 81-yarder, but Julio had some productive plays in the screen game as well.
And that's today's point yesterday. That play seemed to work yesterday.
I thought the play that stuck out in my mind is when you're on the same page as the receiver, and as Ryan gets flushed left towards the Falcon sideline, and Julio decides to get vertical up the field, and then Ryan hangs it to him, and he elevates over the safety and takes it from him for a huge play in that drive that was the ceiling drive to put the points on the board to win the game.
Yeah, they were seeing the coverage out of the same eyes, so to speak, and when Julio saw the coverage and went up the field, Matt delivered a ball that really only Julio was going to catch. And Julio was able to get up there and show his athleticism and make a very big play for us in regards to keeping the drive alive.
Yeah, in the read, the touchdown read that Smitty talked about last night after the game, Julio with the little bend out and then hit the seam, he thought it was going to be too high. He was going to split the safeties, and as he came out of his break, he saw they went one high safety, and he stayed vertical up the seam. He and Ryan on the same page, and the result is 81 yards and a touchdown.
Before we talk about the Dolphins, let's get our Ford Defend the Dome question of the week for Coach Smith. Don't forget, you can ask a question. Log on to defendthedome.com. If your question's answered during our segment during the week, you'll win a $50 gift card to nflshop.com. Sheila Cochran from Marietta wants to know, Coach, what do you think needs to be done differently so that the team scores consistently throughout the entire ballgame? You were talking about the three straight three and outs after the good start, things like that. Is there something specific you can attribute it to, I guess?
Well, we're looking every week and evaluating everything that our players do and what we do as coaches. We need to be more consistent in our execution, and I think as a coaching staff that we need to make sure that we are, as I mentioned, accentuating the positives of our of our players and play to their strengths. We were in a situation yesterday that was a little bit different with the injuries that we had, so that was a factor in some of the play calling, but we've got to keep the hammer down when we have a lead, and we've got to make sure that we play well on defense at the end of the ball game, because if we're going to have leads, people are going to be trying to throw the ball around the yard on us.
When you look at this Miami Dolphin team, Smitty, it's a team that you mentioned in your press conference, very impressive to go on the road to start the season. Still a young quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, go out and get a couple of wins on the road.
I've been very impressed with the Dolphins. They'll go on the road and win in the NFL two consecutive weeks. That's very impressive. And Ryan Tannehill is, I think, maturing as a quarterback. He's a very athletic quarterback, so that will be an element that we'll have to deal with. He and Mike Wallace got going this past week. I know week one, the big free agent acquisition, didn't get a whole lot of looks and a whole lot of targets, but, man, he had a big game yesterday. And then on their defensive football team, they play with a lot of energy, and they've got some guys that can come off the corner. You know, Cameron Wake is outstanding pass rusher, and I know that there's some guys that were on our team last year that are down there that I'm sure have talked to the coaching staff about how we do things in Brent Grimes and Tyson Clabo.
Yeah, and Brent had an interception yesterday in the end zone, thwarted a drive and made a play. Brian Hartline stepped up in week one, so that gives you an idea that they have a two-way go, not just Wallace, but Hartline on the outside in week one had a big day. So Tannehill got some guys to throw the football to.
Coach, it's interesting. A year ago you saw him in the third preseason game, which ironically was the week Tannehill was named the starter. He quarterbacked the entire year. And you can kind of look at them on paper from a year ago in that preseason, and I know it's preseason a year ago, but you can kind of see where they started building, and Joe Philbin was in his first year, where they started laying some of the groundwork for this start they've had this year.
Oh, I think Coach Philbin and the staff have done an outstanding job. Mike Sherman, the offensive coordinator, has got a very impressive offensive mind, former head coach of the Green Bay Packers, coached at Texas A&M. They are building their football team to the strengths of their quarterback. They've given him some help at the wide receiver with Mike Wallace. Mm-hmm. They had a tackle leave, so they bring one in and Tyson Clabo. They bring Brent Grimes in. We know Brent's very athletic. I'm very impressed with what they have shown these first 2 weeks, and I know they'll be excited to have their home opener in front of their home fans this week.
Kevin Coyle is the defensive coordinator who was with Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati. Yeah. Same kind of philosophies as what you see out of the Bengals?
Very similar. Very similar. Kevin was with Marvin for a number of years. He and Mike Sherman worked together as assistant coaches. And philosophically, Kevin will do the same things. He'll do some fire zones. He will put a pressure package together. Mm-hmm. He's not going to sit back and just play coverage.
I know you'll have a specific plan in place for all three phases of the game that's tailored towards the Dolphins. Smitty, obviously some uncertainty as the guys available and guys that are a little bit banged up that you'll talk about on Wednesday as you divulge what's going on from an injury standpoint on this football team. How much do you have a pretty good idea as to what you can do with the personnel moving forward? Is that still going to be something that needs to play out over the next 48 hours for you?
Well, I think what ends up happening each week once you start the season is you have to see how your players that are banged up go through that first 48-hour window. That first 48 hours after after a game is very important. It's really interesting how some guys turn around very, very quickly. They may be on the injury report for Monday and then are not on it on Tuesday. So it's going to be interesting to see how some of these guys that were banged up are able to return. You know, we had the same situation in week one with a big, long injury report on Wednesday. Jonathan Babineau, for example, was listed on the injury report and did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday. He was feeling good enough to get out there and get some snaps on Friday. And we anticipate that that's going to be kind of the standard operating procedure for the season. Julio was on the injury report had some issues with his knees. So we're gonna have that each and every week, and it's just going to be a matter of how those guys turn around with their work with our athletic performance department.
Yeah, it's interesting because 2 weeks, there's still a lot of football left to go here. I mean, that's a part of it. You've played some ball games here and had some things happen, but there's still a lot of ball left to go here.
Oh, we're just starting. This is this is a marathon, and I can turn back and still look at the starting line.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the finish line is way down there, and the fun part of coaching is going through the process of the off season, then coming together and seeing how your football team is in week one, week two, week three, and we're all doing the same thing. We're all trying to put ourselves in position. This league is so close. I think you're going to see the statistics when they come out this week of one score games. I think it might have been the most one score games in the history of the NFL this past weekend.
Wow.
And I think through the first 2 weeks, you're going to see that the numbers are up higher than what they normally are. Usually they're somewhere around 52 to 55% are one score games. And that's what this league's all about. That's why it's so exciting. That's why I'm losing my hair and it's turning gray. They're all one score. They all end up being one score games.
Yeah.
Well, Smitty, we got to get you out of here. One last thing for me. How much do you turn it off when you come home from a game? And I know you're constantly evaluating your own team. And I see you on playing. You're immediately looking at the game. You're constantly evaluating your club. Did you get a chance to watch any Seattle, San Francisco last night? That game was delayed on an hour, hour and a half with storms. Did you spend any time looking at any of that?
I watched the game up until the suspension, and then when they kept coming back and saying that it was going to be 20 minutes, 30 minutes, yeah. I went to bed. I was tired. So I think it was 2-0.
Yeah, it was an offensive.
Or it was 0-0 or 2-0 when they went to the suspension. I'm not sure. Yeah. But, there's a lot of good football teams in the NFC. Right now, if the experts are right, the two that played on Sunday night are pretty good teams. And by the way, we got a chance to play them here at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But my focus, starting first thing this morning, was the Miami Dolphins. And we had a victory Monday today with our football team. So the guys were off, so to speak. We had a number of guys in here volunteering to come in on their own, working with the trainers and such, and the guys in the weight room. But our focus is right now is on one thing, and that's getting prepared for a good Miami Dolphin team that's 2-0.
All right, Coach, thanks as always for the visit. Mike Smith joining us. Stay tuned when we come back. The Ackerman Security Defensive Player of the Game and Jason Snelling in our Player Spotlight when the Mike Smith Coaches Show continues from Flowery Branch right after this. That is our Ackerman Security's Defensive Player of the Game, brought to you by Ackerman Security. Protect your home and family for just $18.95 a month. Monitoring fee, no cost to switch. Online at AckermanSecurity.com. Jason Snelling will join us here in just a moment. OCU Manure had played 131 career games, never had an interception, let alone never had an interception for a touchdown. He takes care of it all in one stroke.
Yeah, he did it big, and I thought OC made a number of plays in the game, Wes, yesterday. He didn't get credited with a tackle, wasn't credited with a sack. He has the interception return for a touchdown, as you mentioned. I think he batted, two or three passes that were probably going to be first down throws that were batted down. Rushing the passer, elevating and knocking the football down. I think he's had a really good effect on some of the younger players as well. I think it's a defensive line that continues to kind of mature. You had some pretty good pressure again yesterday from your interior three defensive tackles.
Right.
We talk about Parre Jerry, Corey Peters, Jonathan Babineau. And I think the young players, Jonathan Massaquah now is going to be forced into a much larger role with the injury to Croy Bierman. In case you're just checking in, Croy Bierman placed on injury reserve. Achilles tendon injury is gone for the year, as is Brady Ewing, as he has separated shoulder, the fullback gone for the year. So the Falcons, you'll probably watch over the next 24 hours, make a couple of waiver wire additions, maybe off of their practice squad, or maybe go out and get a guy like a DeMarco, who was in training camp with
Patrick
him.
Patrick
DeMarco, the fullback. But more importantly, guys that are on campus now, on the roster now, Jonathan Massaquah, who I thought showed up pretty well in the second half, didn't get a sack, but still was around the football a lot. Now all of a sudden he comes in, and now he's going to play more. And he does have those abilities to stand up and move around and create some problems.
Take me through what we saw yesterday, because you and I can talk with coaches and players about learning and understanding the depth of a football team. And we get into this discussion during the preseason a lot about the back end or the back third or what have you of the roster. But situations and circumstances like yesterday, Dave, is where it really happens.
Yeah, and we hear so much about how Smitty and his staff cross-train players, guys can play different positions, can they step in whole situations. I thought Akeem Dent was forced into a position where he had to play in the nickel package, and he had to step in and probably wasn't quite ready to have to defend that shallow cross route that they had some success with, some of those kind of things. Yet he came in, filled the void, made some tackles, and did a nice job. Another guy that had to step in is the guy that's going to join us right now, and Jason Snelling, who seems to be there anytime the Falcons need somebody to step up. This is the guy that steps up and does it, whether it's tailback, fullback, special teams. Snells, welcome to the show. Appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What went through your mind yesterday? Obviously, you know, you had your role. You knew what you were going to do during the course of the game, and then all of a sudden – couple of things happen. Steven Jackson gets hurt. Brady gets hurt literally in the same series. All of a sudden, you're the next guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in this game, I've been around long enough to know that, you know, that next man up attitude takes you a long way. It's been, you know, a big part of my career, just always being prepared for my opportunity. And during the work week, I go into it that way, preparing like, you know, I could be the starter, you know, whether it's the you know, first quarter or the fourth quarter, I know there's an expectation for me to come in and make plays and have no drop-off on this team.
You have an attitude you run with that really has endeared you to the fan base here in Atlanta. I mean, you run with a violence that I think they wish that everybody ran with. Steven Jackson seems to have a similar running style that you guys have. Where does that come from? You run like you've got a chip on your shoulder, like you're trying to prove something every time you touch a football.
It's just my competitive will. Every play that I go out there, I'm trying to win that play. Mm. Our coaches always preach win your one-on-one matchups. That's in special teams, offense, defense. And, you know, I take that to heart every time I go out there. I'm trying to win my play and do what I can do to help my team win that play. And ultimately, if you win enough plays, you know, you'll win more games.
Yesterday for Jason Snelling, just a couple of carries, 19 yards, of course, the game-winning touchdown. Four catches for 41 yards. This is kind of the – in fact, in my chart that I put together for the broadcast, I don't ever look at it as rushing or receiving with you. I always look at it as touches,
impactful plays,
touches and total yards. I mean, that's kind of the way your professional career has gone, hasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I take pride in being a guy that's able to do multiple things, you know, whatever the team needs, whether I got to go in there, block a fullback, you know, catch the ball at the backfield, or if, you know, when my opportunity gets a chance to run the ball, I like to run with a lot of aggression and, you know, physicality.
Jason Snelling with us here on the player portion of Mike Smith's Coaches Show in Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Snells, what happens, and you've been here long enough to where you felt this, and I don't know, as a player it's hard to figure it out, but you get off to great starts. The team blows out of the box. It's the way you practice. You guys start with like 2 minutes when you start practice every day. You guys are immediately into no huddle. But in the third quarter, there's been moments, and it doesn't happen to just the Falcons. It happens to other teams as well. But there's that lull moment where you can't seem to – and all of a sudden now the other team gets a little grip in the game and they begin to come back. Is that just kind of the NFL and the other team kind of realizing they're endangered species now and they're going to die in this game and they rally back? Or is there something to it where you guys need to adjust what you're thinking and doing in the third quarter?
I mean, I just think it's something across the NFL. It's tough to win in this league. It's a lot of great players, great teams. I just think that, you know, guys, you know, just as hard as, you know, when you jump out on a team fast, you know, that team is going to have the will to come back out and fight because they're, you know, every week they're working hard in practice to go out there and win. And I just think that's just the small details in this game that it's hard to win. And, you know, you gotta put the foot pedal to the metal when you have your opportunities because it's never an end of the game until that fourth quarter is out.
Jason, you look at the ball game yesterday. I know it's second ball game of the year. It's not anywhere near the middle of the season or even the end of the season. But how much can you learn about a team when you go through what you guys went through yesterday, losing guys during the course of the ball game, and yet finding a way to win with guys kind of having to do some different things or things they may not be ready to do just yet in a second game?
I mean, you find out a lot. You find out, you know, all the work that you put in the offseason. You see it when you got starters that go down in early in the game and you got guys come in that weren't expected to do as much and come out there and play with no drop-off and make plays. So, you know, you have to go and looking at that, you have to be positive about, you know, what you built and all the hard work you've done in the offseason and moving forward.
We saw a bunch of teams yesterday, Jason. I know you probably went home and laid down and rested. I went home, watched some more of the games, and there was a number of teams that that had a chance to win late and didn't get it done, and it's the same cast of characters that had a chance to win and got it done. New Orleans, one of you guys' nemesis, found a way to win, where Tampa found a way to lose a game late again. How do you – because you guys are the team that finds a way to win games late. Is that something you guys had to learn as a group? Because there's a core group of you guys that have been here for a while now. Is that something you had to learn to do? How do some teams get that right and some teams don't get it right?
I mean, particularly a team like us, I think we've been doing it for a while. And we built that chemistry. So when we get in those situations, it's such a high confidence that, you know, we're always in the game. When we have guys on this team that can make plays in the instant that will put us right back in the game. So, you know, having that confidence going to ending situation, you know, you never feel like you're counted out. And we've been one of those teams. And now, you know, any moment that comes up for us is a challenge that we feel like we can always beat.
It's one of those things that is – I'm gathering, even as much as you game plan, as much as you practice reps or whatever, there's a lot more mental to this than anything else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the mental part of it, you know, when you're tired and, you know, it seems like the chips are against you. You know, we got a lot of guys on this team that have a lot of mental toughness, this cast of guys that, you know, have been doing it for a long time, from our coach, head coach on down. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, starting with him, you know, the confidence level he has in us, you know, in situations – it just makes us play with a confidence that we feel like, you know, we can always succeed when we have time on the clock.
We talked about you, and it seems like anytime you get an opportunity to make a play, you do. Whether it's a shovel pass inside, score, it's an 11-yard touchdown run like you did yesterday. It's the slip into the flat, don't get tied up, slip into flat, catch the ball, extend a drive for first down to seal the football game. Those are all things that you did yesterday. Another guy that seems to kind of step up in that regard and kind of gets overlooked, and it's a guy I talked about with Smitty a little bit, is Antone Smith, a guy that seems to – doesn't really get his snaps on offense, but it seems like every time there's something happening in special teams, he seems to show up.
Oh, I mean, that's just Antone. I mean, his competitive will is something other that I've never seen. I mean, every challenge he's ever had, if coach has asked him to do it, particularly on special teams, and he succeeds at a high level. I mean, he does it quietly. You know, he comes to work and does his job. He's that one of those guys that coach talks about, just doing your job. And he is always making plays. And I think it's a, you know, he's really helped our team on the special team side of the ball, you know, in the last 2 weeks. But, you know, in the last 5 years, he's been here.
I think there's a whole bunch of guys, a whole bunch of fans out there. I'd like to see you two guys in the backfield a little more, both of you.
I mean, Antone, you know, I promise if he had his opportunity that he'd do well. You know, he's that type of player. And, you know, when his time comes and he has an opportunity, no challenge is too big for him either.
As we go to break here with Jason Snelling in this player segment portion of the Mike Smith Show, just see if you can remember this. Yesterday, when you scored at the end of the game, of course, you've had several touchdowns here in the last couple of years, mm-hmm. but they've all been receiving scores. Do you remember the last time you had a rushing score prior to yesterday? This may surprise you. It surprised me when we found out.
Yeah, it was surprising.
I'm not sure what game. I'm thinking it was like 2010.
That is correct.
Yeah.
3 years, yeah. Almost to the day from the last rushing score you had.
Yeah, I knew it's been a while. I knew that for, you know, so.
But backs get pretty stingy when you get down near the goal line is to give up their get up the roughy attempts.
Right.
He's been willing to come in. Anybody let him go take that snap.
Matt's dumped it to you low. You've gotten the shovel pass a couple times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Technically, those goes down as touchdown catches, right?
Exactly. Those are touchdown catches. So anytime you can get a rushing touchdown, they're hard to come by in this league, too. So it was a good feeling.
Yesterday was a game winner, 31-24. Falcons beat the Rams. Stay tuned. More of the Mike Smith Show with our player guest Jason Snelling continues after this on 790 The Zone. Jason Snelling's 11-yard run caps a 9-play, 80-yard drive in 5:45. And as the announcer said, the first rushing play of the drive was the last play to win the ball game. Take me through that drive. Take me through how that works, because you got to, and Dave mentioned this yesterday, you guys had some intermediate passing game, struggling to run the ball at times. Intermediate passing game seemed to be almost like the run game a little bit. And then there for a very good college career at Virginia. And you've kind of seen this foundation built and now a certain level of success. What's that mean?
I mean, it means a lot to me, you know, to be able to be part of, you know, the rebuilding of this organization. From Coach Smith and Thomas Dimitrioff came in, all the hard work they put in, and be one of those guys who's, you know, had opportunities to help this team have the success in win streaks. So, I mean, it's just a good feeling. I love being a Falcon. Mm-hmm. You know, I love what I do. And, you know, I embrace my role, you know, on this team. And it's given me a lot of opportunities, and it's been a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. You've had a number of seasons here where the team has been relatively injury-free. Yesterday was a battle of attrition for both teams. A number of players left the field. You were one of the guys that stepped in and played a huge role in getting a win for this team, as you've done since 07, since you've been here. What do you say to some of the other younger players? Because you've been in this role for a while now. Some of those guys that are going to have to step up potentially. We don't know what the injury situation. We'll get that from Smitty on Wednesday. But potentially some guys are going to have to play larger roles. Is that an area where you can kind of step in, say, having been there, and said, hey, this is what's expected?
And I would just say, you know, all those guys have been playing football all their lives. You know, no challenge is too big. This is what they do. They wouldn't, you know, they're here for a reason. Mm. You know, and you go out there and prepare like you're going to be a starter every week, and you'll go out there and be fine. And I've done that my whole career, and it's worked for me. You know, I never let anything get too big. All the plays that I've made, you know, I've made those plays in my head 1,000 times, you know, getting prepared for a game. And you know, you wouldn't believe when you do that in your head to how it translates to the football field. So, you know, guys that are coming in young, you know, how long, whether it's a 1 week, you know, go out there and, you know, make a statement, put, you know, your best play on film, because it's going to lead to more opportunities.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's something that you try to tell young players. I know you have a chance to visit. You do a lot of community work here in Atlanta. I know you spend a lot of time with some young kids that play ball, kids at school, things like that. And it doesn't matter whether you play ball or whatever it is you potentially want to become. Mm-hmm. The visualization thing is real. Here's a National Football League player sitting here talking about night before you think about making plays. In the summertime, you think about making plays. And that's a real scenario, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm doing it the night before, the day of the game, all the way up on the sideline, you know, knowing that, you know, if it's a package maybe for me that I have an opportunity to get the ball, you know, I visualize myself, you know, making the most out of that play and maximizing that play. And for me, it's always, you know, the end zone. You know, it doesn't always work that way, but, you know, with that, you know, it could be just getting that first down. You know, you have to visualize it and see yourself doing it, and it'll happen.
Jason, you've got a perfect attitude as a core guy on a professional football team. Take me through, you have like, okay, here's tonight. Tomorrow's an off day for you guys. A lot of guys were in the facility today for one reason or another, to either look at tape of yesterday or maybe get a peek ahead at Miami. How important is it early in the year for guys to kind of stay on a schedule and get settled into this year because of how long the season is? We closed our segment with Coach Smith talking about the marathon that is a 16-game and 17-week NFL regular season.
I mean, it's extremely important to build a routine that you want to stick to, because, you know, it is a long season, and you know, that routine that you stick to coming in and doing that extra work, you know, taking care of your body during that time is gonna go a long way towards the end of that grind, because, you know, when your body's telling you don't want to do certain things, but that routine is going to get you up and get you going. And it's worked for this team for years now, and I think we have a lot of guys around here that know that routine and can help a lot of younger guys on of how we do things around here.
Give the fan an idea, Jace, real quickly, as to what you guys do, what you do. Let's say what you do. When you get a Victory Monday, and for those of you who don't know, when Smitty says it's Victory Monday, the team wins on Sunday, he gives them essentially the day off, which none of you guys ever take. It seems like every one of you are here anyway, working out in the training room watching film. But take us through that 48-hour period Monday, Tuesday, and what that encompasses for you on a Victory Monday, Tuesday scenario.
Well, for me, you know, I take the time to wind down a little bit, you know, spend some time with my family. But, of course, you know, I'm coming in, you know, doing the things I need to do to take care of my body, you know, catching up on early film. You know, usually we always say that it's, you know, you clear and after you watch the game. But when you have a Victory Monday, you don't have the opportunity to watch the game right after the Sunday. Mm-hmm. So you're coming in trying to get a little advantage on the next opponent, and just taking care of your body. You know, you come off a game like that, you know, you're going to have some soreness and things like that. So you have to stay on top of those things. So that's my main focus. And, you know, just relaxing, because you know that the next day is, you know, it's coming right back around.
How hard is it for you to maintain the strength? And I remember strength guys, and you kind of categorize as a skill guy, strength guy, because you got to do both jobs. Fullback, shortening people's necks, but you're also a guy that's running with the football as well and special teams. How hard is it to keep the strength for 16 weeks? I know you're getting the massage, all that kind of stuff, but then there's also you got to get in the weight room. You're still banging some weights from time to time too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, but I mean, it's a mental thing. It's all part of the mental game and the mental makeup as a football player. You know, body telling you don't want to do certain things that you can do. You just got to keep, you know, pushing yourself through it. I think it's the impressive thing is we've been so successful here is because we have so many guys that have that mental makeup that, you know, that push through things that, you know, other teams don't. And it's fun to be a part of, you know, and it's easier whenever you have a lot of guys around you doing the same things that you, and it makes it just a lot easier to do the things you don't want to do.
Jason, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Congratulations on the win yesterday. I know you're excited to get ready to go to Miami, right?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm real excited to get down there and, play against some of our other former players.
That's right. Jason Snelling with us on this week's edition of the Mike Smith Show. For Dave Archer, Wes Durham, stay tuned. Archer and Bell with John Michaels continues on the other side at Sports Radio 790 The Zone.